Welcome to episode 16 of Inside Athletic Performance. We're coming to you today from a not very miserable Manchester. It's actually been very, very nice today. I know Rick's not seen too much of it, so he says. But it's been a cracking day. I've just walked into Manchester now, about 5 o'clock this evening, and lovely and warm. Beautiful blue sky just going dark with the Christmas markets. Did well to stay away. Don't want to put any timber on over Christmas. But yeah, we are here again, episode 16. We've got another guest for you. On this episode, we've got the new WBA lightweight champion of the world, Anthony Crawler, crowned just a couple of weeks ago in Manchester. Finally, got what he deserved. So if you stay tuned, you'll hear what he's got to say in the next couple of minutes. Joining me on the introduction to the show is a very under-the-weather Rick Moylan. Rick, how are you holding up?
I've got man flu, Sean, you know, and as we all know, excuse me, there you go. Man flu is arguably one of the most serious illnesses in the world. And being the warrior that I am, I'm here today.
Yeah.
Coughing and sneezing, but, you know, serious man flu.
Women don't understand the pain because they're immune to this.
They have no idea. They think childbirth's difficult. Wait, we know, try man flu, ladies. You know, it's.
Is that a sexist comment?
No. It was a statement. It was, you know. Maybe it was.
We'll get onto that later on, but so we were going to do this episode last week, but Rick's current state of health had to force us to postpone this episode by 7 days. But he's manned up and come along today, so we greatly appreciate his time. We've got quite a bit to talk about. Last time we came to you was the week before Anthony Crawler's world title fight. That would have been the beginning of November. Since then, Britain's had two new world champions crowned. Obviously Anthony himself, and the very Marmite character Tyson Fury, love him or hate him. Personally, I'm a massive fan, but I know he divides opinion. But we'll start off with Anthony Crawler, because he was first chronologically. It's been a long time coming for Crawler, because he's had such a journey in the past 12 months. We spoke about it in the last show. We won't go too deep into this, because we know you've got Anthony coming up himself, but such a journey for him, and a couple of weeks ago, he finally got his hands on the world title with a stunning knockout, to be perfectly honest. And it's no less than he deserves.
Yeah, you know, it's been an enormous journey for Anthony. Regardless of the well-publicised incident that happened to him a year ago, you know, I can remember Anthony when I first met him, which was just after he'd lost to Youssef Alhamidi, the journeyman. I think that was the sixth or seventh fight of his career. Really unexpected loss, and it was live on Sky Sports as well, you know, and it was just didn't happen for him that night, and you know, that's boxing, eh? And
absolutely.
And you know, yeah, it's been an enormous journey, then back to a few wins, then to another loss against Gary Sykes at Fenton Sports Centre, I believe, in Stoke-on-Trent. I think I was there as well.
I was there.
And again, you know, Gary Sykes then pushed on and became British champion, and Anthony Crawler was left really in a bit of a no man's land, really.
Yep.
But a change of trainer, a change of promoter,
change of fortunes.
And even then, you know, I think realizing now that Anthony's a big Man United fan, which obviously gives him extra brownie points around this table, but. He just doesn't do boring fights, you know. He does excitement, and that has led to that roller coaster. You know, the loss to Derry Matthews, which I thought was a ridiculous loss. I don't think he should have been stopped at all on that fight. But also, you know, let's focus on the positives. The great wins, the win against Andy Morris Jr., which was a big underdog for that fight. Yeah, fantastic performance against John Watson to become British champion. Brilliant performance. The John Murray fight, obviously.
Gavin Rees,
all amazing fights. The second Derry Matthews fight, which I think we both agree should have won.
Yeah, I didn't,
It was a draw, wasn't it? Yeah. But we both agree should have won that. So Anthony's been a bit like the Man United of the boxing world. You know, he's great to watch. He's really exciting.
Not this season.
It's not always gone his way, but he's always provides a lot of excitement. And I think you see with the fan base he's got that he is exciting to watch. And you come, you know, this is well documented. You couldn't meet a nicer lad, and to win that world title in the manner that he did, which he will never throw a better punch in his career. It was a Hollywood punch, you know, amazing.
Ricky Hatton-esque.
Absolutely. How can you say it isn't?
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Very Castillo, weren't it, in Las Vegas? Remember that one?
I do. I remember it well. It was a absolute peach of a punch.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll hit a better one.
Yeah, you couldn't really ask for a better punch. He obviously, well, I don't want to spoil the interview, to be honest, because Crawley's going to tell us all about this himself. But cracking punch, left up to the body. And for, you knew you weren't going to get up. You just knew. It was the slowest 10 seconds I've experienced in a long time. I've got the utmost respect for Adalys Perez, but I didn't want him to get up.
No, I don't think anyone wanted him to get up. And like you say, every second was like a minute, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Like, he's not getting up. He's not getting up. Oh, my God, he might not actually get up here. he's not getting up. And then, you know, the reaction from the crowd and from Anthony himself, it shows what it means to these guys. You know, it was that you know, I'm sure he'd say, but that's what it's all about. That's where dreams are made, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, and it has been an amazing journey for him, and I couldn't be any happier for him. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Gallagher did a little jig when he came in the ring. He was obviously over the moon, as we all were.
Joe's getting quite well known for those little dances now, isn't he?
He can't help himself.
There's a few things get said in the gym that I'll probably best not repeat, but you know, yeah. Those little dances are becoming a little trademark.
They really are, yeah.
Leave that alone.
Yeah, in the final press conference before November the 21st, there was a face-off for the cameras, obviously, between Crawler and Perez. And the cameraman said, "Everybody happy? Yeah, yeah, yeah." And Crawler turned to Perez and goes, "Sound." And that really made me laugh, because Perez, Colombian, doesn't speak a single word of English, but Crawler gives it the old sound. He's a true Mancunian.
The universal language of the Republic of Mancunia, you know. And I'm sure he knew what it meant.
Absolutely. There's obviously mutual respect between the two, but it just made me laugh, that. So, yeah, obviously we're all very, very pleased for Anthony, and you'll hear what he's got to say later on in the programme. We mentioned before the other world champion that's been crowned in the past couple of weeks. This was the most sensational story, you've got to admit. Tyson Fury knocked off the heavyweight king, or the former heavyweight king, Vladimir Klitschko. In his own country, I'll say that in inverted commas because he's Ukrainian, but went over to Germany, had everything thrown at him. He was sent the wrong gloves. He got to the arena on the day of the fight. The ring canvas was like a trampoline. Klitschko then tried to wrap his hands on his own without anybody watching. It was all dirty, underhanded tricks of the trade. He tried everything on. Fury wasn't really fazed by any of it. And I think, to be honest, looking back now, Klitschko was a little bit nervy, and he thought he'd try every trick in the book.
I think those tricks proved that Fury had completely won the psychological battle. He'd got under his skin. He had unnerved him with all the antics, all the varying tactics. I think there's no doubt that Fury won the psychological battle. And the irony is, Fury was on ringside with Johnny Nelson. And Fury said exactly how he was going to win the fight. And, you know, people laugh at Fury, and he takes a lot of stick and a lot of abuse. And like you say, you know, can be a bit of a Marmite character. I personally think he's brilliant. He nailed a game plan on that night, and he deserves absolutely every bit of respect and money and kudos, he should get. Because it was an outstanding performance.
Can't really argue with that at all. There was a point where I was expecting nerves to come out. I've got to say, you've got all this build-up. He's saying, you know, he's the greatest heavyweight on the planet, and you think it's great, it's entertaining, but he's going to come unstuck, and he never did. Even in the ring war, he looked relaxed. He was singing to the song. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, to be honest. I mean, he was walking into the lion's den fighting Vladimir Klitschko, one of the all-time great heavyweights, not just of this era, of all time. How many can say went 11 years undefeated?
Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah.
And he didn't even, weren't even a flash knockout.
Tyson Fury, you know, balls of steel.
Absolutely.
Excuse the language, but balls of steel. Like you say, completely calm, not nervous at all. Yeah, and obviously, you know, they'd obviously analysed, obviously it's a world title fight, I'm sure they had analysed Klitschko's style. Yeah. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were super confident and super execution. You know, it was a brilliant performance. And like you say, there's no way even, and we all know, you know, the German judges, they're renowned for giving poor decisions on points. There was no, it was almost a shutout.
It was.
And there was an argument that it was a shutout.
Yeah.
It was so one-sided.
I mean, I scored it myself, and I was trying to give Klitschko rounds.
Likewise, you had to force yourself to give him rounds.
Yeah.
No, you were almost debating with yourself and arguing with yourself. Well, could I give him that round?
Well, I thought I'll score it to the minimum it can be for Fury. And I still had him three rounds up come the end with a point off.
I think more for me.
Right.
With the point off, I thought it was a clear win.
It was a clinic.
Clear win, yes. Absolute, you know, good footwork. You know, for bear in mind, this guy's, what, 6'9", 6'10"?
6'9", 240 pounds, whatever it is.
Yeah.
17, 18
footwork,
stone.
Jabbing. It was great.
It was a masterclass.
It wasn't, for the armchair fan, the greatest fight to watch, but in terms of a tactical win, and you know, Klitschko's got the rematch, I cannot see anything other than the same thing happening again now.
Yeah, well, he's got his number for me.
Yep.
Both psychologically and physically.
Yep.
I don't think Klitschko aged overnight. I think Fury just outboxed him, simple as that.
Outsmarted,
yep.
Outboxed, outthought, you name it. Did everything. Did
Absolutely.
A job on him, actually. Did a job on him. Went into his hometown. Did a job on him.
And fair play to Klitschko. He held his hands up after the fight. He said, I got beaten by the better fighter and this and that. And I look forward to the rematch, to be honest. I think it'll be a great spectacle for British boxing back on home turf. You'd expect. You wouldn't expect it to be over in Germany.
You wouldn't think so. You can see him.
Fury holds all the cards now.
Yeah, and you can see him trying to go big with it, really, can't you? Maybe a Wembley Stadium or a football stadium of some sort. You know, you can see him trying to make
it. I pitched this to Crawler, actually, in the interview that we did beforehand, that's going to air in a minute. I could see a really big British card, maybe Old Trafford.
That's what I mean.
Fury, get Anthony Crawler on the card.
Fury, Crawler,
Quigg.
You know, Quigg, a couple of other local fighters. Couple of up and coming fighters,
why not?
A couple of those, the Liverpool fighters who are all champions, you know, Callum Smith, people like that.
Yeah,
you know, why not? It could be a massive night.
Well, we saw it a couple of years ago with Froch and Groves, didn't we, at Wembley, and that sold out Wembley Stadium. We didn't think it'd ever happen again, but suddenly it's on the horizon again.
Well, you know, going back to what we said about Anthony Crawler, Fenton Sports Centre versus Gary Sykes. You know, when Quigg beat Jason Booth for the British title at Bolton Arena, you know, there was, you're talking 500 people at these fights at the most, and that's only five or six years ago, and now we're back to talking about stadiums, and it's great to see, you know, British boxing back where it deserves to be. There was a little campaign going for Anthony Crawler to be added to the sports personality list, which didn't happen, but probably should have done.
I agree. And I should have asked him this in the interview. I apologise now because I didn't. I just forgot. Just unprofessionalism at
its
best.
Useless.
I know, I can only apologise. We got through quite a lot, actually, with Crawler, as you'll hear in a bit.
Don't make excuses. Come on, get on with it.
So anyway, we both think that Anthony Crawler should have been on the sports personality list. We've got nothing against the actual 10 candidates that made the cut, but I think if you're looking for a 12-month sporting story, obviously Crawler's career is longer than 12 months, but in terms of this 12-month period, you'd struggle to find a better story than Anthony Crawler's.
Well, I don't know one. I don't know a better story.
No, he was on, you know, his life was in jeopardy 12 months ago, and all of a sudden, well, 12 months later, he's the WBA lightweight champion of the world. It's a full circle.
I'm all ears if there's a better story than that out there. I don't know one.
It was actually a massive campaign. 50,000 people signed a petition to get Tyson Fury kicked off the Sports Personality of the Year list. And he was asked the other day to respond to that petition. I'm not going to repeat the language he used. He said, what do you think of the 50,000 people that signed the petition to have you booted off? He said, well, you are, those 50,000 people are 50,000
Nice.
You can add whatever expletive you want in that gap, but they'd all be equivalent of what Tyson Fury said. And you've got to act, personally, I love him for comments like that. He's honest, he's frank. It's just what sport needs, to be perfectly honest. I think Fury would be my vote to win it.
I agree. I think.
Well, the title of the award is Sports Personality. I've got no disrespect for any of the other athletes, but if you're on about personality.
I think he's great. And, you know, there has been a couple of possibly controversial statements, but I think he's great. So, you know, and again, he's a brilliant story. And this is not, do I even say this? A rags to riches story,
right?
You know,
no disrespect intended.
No disrespect intended at all. And you know, obviously someone with Irish blood, by the way. What I mean is a very working class boy who's made the very, very top.
Yep.
Who from day one said it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed at him.
Yeah.
You know, he was mocked.
Well, right now, if he said, "I'm going to knock Anthony Joshua in 6 rounds," why would anybody not believe him? He's just said he's going to go and beat Klitschko in Germany, and he's done it.
Yeah, I agree. But I think Joshua is a... let's leave that one there, I think.
Would you have been more emphatic about backing Joshua 4 weeks ago? I think you would. Fury has probably changed a lot of minds.
I think so. You can't say anything against Fury right now. He deserves everything that he's getting. I just think that Joshua could be very, very special for many, many years.
Well, there's no doubt when that fight happens, because it will happen. It's going to sell out Wembley, I think. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fury, he's not going to duck anybody.
Oh, no. No way. I'll tell you now. No way. It's not in his nature. Yeah. It's not in his culture. It's not in his upbringing. He will not back down from anybody.
Do you think he'll fight David A?
No, I don't. And I don't think that is backing down or ducking.
I think that's principles.
I think it's principles, yeah.
I can't blame him, because David A has ducked him twice.
Yeah.
Whether there's an injury or not, I'm not questioning his injury, but at the end of the day, he's pulled out 2 fights with Tyson
Fury. If I was Fury, I would not fight David A out of pure principle. And he's in charge now. He's got the belt. I would, and also Hayes high risk, yeah.
Absolutely.
He can punch, you know.
He's a great boxer, David.
Still a top fighter. He's still being
shaped. We'll see if he's still a top fighter in January. But
I think Hayes got to earn his way back in now. I think
that's what Fury said. He said Hayes got to become mandatory to
correct.
His titles.
And I totally agree with that. You know, sports are business. Boxing's a business. And if I was sat in Tyson Fury's seat right now, if I was on his team, I would be taking mandatories. I would take the rematch. I would take mandatories. I would not take voluntaries against high-risk opponents who had let me down twice previously.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the answer.
Rick, thanks for joining us for the intro to the show once again. Always a pleasure to have you on, and we appreciate your time given your current state of health. So.
As I say, you know, dragged from the deathbed of man flu, but there we go.
That's dedication to this programme.
Always a pleasure, always a pleasure.
Me and Rick have actually taken up far too much of your time, so... let's hear from somebody important. The new WBA lightweight champion of the world, Anthony Crawler.
Hello, Sean.
Hey, mate, you alright?
Yeah, I'm fine, mate, you okay?
Yeah, good, mate, good. Anthony Crawler, WBA world lightweight champion. How does that sound?
I'm getting used to it now. It's still took a few days to sink in. But now it's one of them, listen, it's something I've wanted to wait for a long, long time, and it's literally the dream come true. But it feels good, but I know that I've got to see winning the title now, but it's hard to keep it, so I'm ready for the hard work. Well, I'm enjoying a bit of a rest, a bit total of a rest, but I'm back picking over. I'll be ready for the hard work when it starts.
Obviously, the fight itself went better than you could have planned. The left hook to the body was the finishing shot, but I thought you absolutely came out of the blocks at a frantic pace, both of you, to be honest. I had you 3-1 up on the cards personally going into the fifth. Was the finishing shot something you worked on?
Well, if you listen, when watching the fight back, you were about saying tapping upstairs and then going down to the body, and I caught it with a good body shot, the end of the previous round, which Adam Smith picked up on, and I knew that it hurt him. But like you say, it was important we felt to start fast this time, and he started fast with us. I just felt that he was feeling the pace a lot more than me, and I was, you know, I was just like you say, I was not relieved, but I was made up to get the result I did, and in the passion that I won it.
Absolutely. The one memory I'll take from that fight was the noise of the crowd when it was waved off.
Yeah, it's something I'll never ever forget, and something I'm so grateful for. I mean, the support, the atmosphere in there was some extra special, and as I always say, I feel blessed all to have the support that I do. And it was like you say, they erupted once that count was like 8-9, and like, it looked like he wasn't going to get up. He did the place, the roof nearly come off the place.
Did you expect him to get up when you knocked him down?
It's the shame because Raul contradicted me though. I hit him with a shot and I knew as soon as he hit him and he went over, for I hit him with a good body shot there, he might struggle. But the next 10 seconds seemed like 10 minutes. And each second they were talking, thinking, well, I'm going to put that, well, look over to Joe at 3 or 4 and see what, you know, I look, Joe, see what he's going to tell me to throw. And then I look back and I thought, oh, he's still not up. And then I thought, well, it's 6, I thought, 7, I thought, he's going to have to get up soon or he's not going to make the count. And he sort of just, you know, going through my head. It was brilliant. Like, say, when I got to 8, I thought, he don't look like he's going to make this. So it was almost like 9, I knew it was over.
Yeah. Time must have stood still for you, you know, in that 10 seconds.
It's like I say, it was the slowest 10 seconds of my life, but at the same time, one of the happiest 10 seconds of my life, too.
Absolutely. There's some cracking pictures of Joe when he got in the ring celebrating with you.
Some unbelievable photos from the night, like Joe, me and in there, and he jumped in, and then the rest in the corner, Darren and Scott jumped in, and the boys from the gym, the family, my little brother, it's the pictures there. There's a lot of pictures that I'll be keeping.
How was the after party?
How was the after party? It was a late one. but as you'd expect. To be honest, I don't normally have a drink after a fight. But this obviously being a world title, and I think he's excused it.
Yeah.
One drink turned into two drinks turned into 5, 10. But it was a strange one. I didn't actually, honestly. I'd normally get drunk so easily after a fight. I've not drank since end of July, so I'm not really a big drinker anyway.
Right.
And the moment, I just couldn't seem to, whether it be sheer adrenaline, I didn't really seem to get drunk.
Right.
So it was great as well. I think I was the only person that certainly around who wasn't chatting in that way. I mean, that didn't have an hangover. Obviously, everyone had a green head on them.
Yeah.
Including my missus. So there was there, and then it's like, imagine one in the chippy like that night. It was a pissed off night, and there must have been like 8 to 10 people there, and everyone but one person, some old lady there, was like, oh, God, because you've got this hangover. Yeah. I'm trying to get a Chinese to sort the hangover out.
I heard a cracky story actually from that night. I don't know if it probably weren't with you, but a guy, he couldn't get a taxi home to save his life, so what he did, he went in the takeaway next door to the taxi rank, ordered food to his house and jumped in with the delivery driver and only paid £1 delivery charge. Absolutely brilliant, that, isn't it? That was one of the best stories I've heard all year. That. Yeah, so obviously you were on Sky Sports News the morning after. What was that like?
Well, you know, to be honest, I was, and I think I'd nodded off for an hour, so I'd almost had no sleep. And I was in last night's cold, so it's like a doing the walk shit the night before the cold. But it was there, and it seemed like I was waking. It hadn't sunk in at that point, to be honest.
No.
It hadn't sunk in at that point, so it was still very, it seemed very strange.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a discussion about being a world champion when it hasn't sunk in yet.
No, but I'm sure it will do, mate, in time. Obviously, you'll have a better Christmas than you did last year. Looking forward to a good rest over Christmas.
Yeah, of course. I was in the gym yesterday, so I'm going to go in tomorrow, just start ticking over lightly. But I want to enjoy it. It's certainly a very different Christmas from last year. and it's a Christmas I'm just going to enjoy, like you say, with my family.
Yeah.
You know, because like I was saying earlier at the start, I'll see me back in the gym working hard, and I'll be planning on working hard, harder and smarter than ever before to make sure I keep holding this world title.
Absolutely, because this isn't the end of the journey for you, obviously, this is just the start. You know, you've got that world title. It's obviously your aim to defend it, and obviously maybe unify the division or whatever down the line.
Yeah, this is the next step, and it's the plan. That's the plan to be in big fights now, and sort of me trying to earn some money for my family's future. That's the plan.
Yeah, obviously next weekend, December the 12th, the big O2 show. Kevin Mitchell's fighting Ismael Barroso for the WBA interim title. Are you going to be at that fight?
I am. I'm going to be ringside watching that, and I'm really hoping that Kev will get through it.
Do you think he will? It's obviously a tough fight for him.
Honestly, I'll be honest, I'm going to watch the Russell this weekend because I saw very, very little of it. From what I hear, often though he's hard fought, he's very heavy-handed. It can be a bit crude, but I'll have to watch it. Yeah. I'll have to watch it, and like I said,
obviously, your fight and Kevin Mitchell and Barroso are obviously only a couple of weeks apart. Whoever comes through that fight, will that be your next opponent?
Sure, just yet. I mean, the winner becomes mandatory.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance, but I'm not too sure just yet whether how the fight's going to happen with cuts and stuff. I was not fight in between that, he makes sure I come through that one. There's a good chance to win that fight. I will fight next year.
Yeah, of course. Joe said straight after you won a couple of weeks ago that maybe Old Trafford. What would that mean to you?
Listen, it's something that I've never honestly thought about until after this fight, because it just seemed like a crazy thing to say, but he's gathering a bit of pace now, and listen, you never know. I couldn't, it's hard to sort of point to words, but it's sure that it'd be back, but it'd be a dream come true, because it's something crazy enough to, it's been so crazy to even think about it, but in the sense, that's the ultimate.
Well, here's a few thoughts that I've had. If Fury ends up taking the rematch with Klitschko immediately, July or August next year, you could have Fury, Klitschko, the rematch, Crawler and, say, Kevin Mitchell or whoever, and maybe Quigg, somebody like that, all on the same bill.
You imagine, you're a boxing fan's dream, that'd be some card, and
would,
that's
it?
The kind of card that would be fitting to the fair of dreams.
Yeah, maybe even Crawler, Terry Flanagan.
That's another possibility. I mean, I'm sure you saw earlier today, Frank Warren, he put us a bid out there for me to fight the winner.
Yeah.
That's another something that it's nice to have those options, and I ain't got a problem with fighting the winner of them. Obviously, it depends on the mandatory and stuff like that, position, and listen, I'm not, that's another possibility, and then two big fights, whoever the winner may be.
Yeah. Manchester at the minute, mate, is the fight capital of the world. We've got four world champions all from Manchester. It's absolutely booming. It's absolutely booming.
It is, and it's great to be a part of it. Four world champions, I think, from Manchester. We're inspiring the younger amateurs to come through and sort of get to the top of their game, whether it be to get to Olympic medal, to a national title, and then to go on to turn over the threshold and to make a name for themselves.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's something for the young boxers and the kids in the gym to aspire to, absolutely. And for the people just starting out, it'll get more people in the gym initially. You know what I mean? All this publicity and all this coverage, and can't do any harm, that's all.
I really hope so. It's like I was inspired by a lot of Manchester fighters when I was younger, so if I'm doing it the same for one kid, then it's a great thing.
Absolutely. A quick word on the Fury-Klitschko fight from the weekend. I take it you watched the fight.
Of course.
We spoke a couple of months ago. I said to you, do you think Fury can do it? And you said, yeah. You were one of the few that actually said, you know what, I've got a feeling he'll do it.
I know. And you know, like, the interviews you did before, I was asked a few people on a Wembley Tyson, and what a great sort of performance, unbelievable result, and you've got to give the big man credit. For doing that. It's there weren't many people who fancied him. I was one of them who did. I just believe this and that. His whole team, Peter's done an amazing job with Tyson, an absolutely amazing job. I think you want to look at sort of physical to see that, but it's an unbelievable result to do that there and not the undisputed heavyweight champion, really. I know they say World Wilder, but knock him off the tree there, Klitschko in his country. It's unbelievable. I know he's Ukrainian, but he's based in Germany. Just an unbelievable result. And
then
it's another great guy,
Stockton. Absolutely. It wasn't just the fact that he went and beat Klitschko, it was the fact he beat Klitschko after everything he had thrown at him.
I think that worked for him, for Tyson, his team, like you say, full credit to his team, who didn't let any of that go on. I mean, the unwrapping thing seems absolutely crazy to think he could try and get away with that.
I couldn't believe that.
It's just such an obvious thing. Anyone who's been involved at that level knows there has to be someone from the opposite, the opponent's camp, watching over the hand being wrapped. So I cannot understand why he's tried that.
No.
But,
tried the old horseshoe in the glove, I think, didn't he? That's what he was getting at.
I think that half unsettled them. It backfired more, and I feel like in there, after a few rounds, and it was a lot tougher than what you expected. I felt like Klitschko, he didn't want to be in there. Peter Fury since said Tyson could have got him out of there if he stepped on it at the right time. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe Tyson, in one of the rounds, I think, if a few more shots landed, he was ready for going, but unbelievable performance from the big man.
Do you think Klitschko's got old overnight? A lot of people have said that.
And I think not. People saying that, I think it's a bit sort of disrespectful for Tyson.
Yeah.
He looked in amazing shape. Whether he was hesitant with the right hand or not, I don't know, but maybe that was down to the way he was very wary of Tyson. So I think a lot of credit to me goes down to Tyson and the game plan that was put together by Peter and the rest of the team.
Absolutely, yeah, I completely agree. He's had a lot of stick, unnecessary stick, in my opinion, Fury, this week. You know, people have been discrediting him and everything else. I think it's a poor do, I've got to say. You know, if somebody like Fury can go over to Germany, like you say, knock off Klitschko, who's not been beaten in 11 years, and he's still not getting praised for his performance, I think it's pretty poor, personally.
Yeah, it's that side. I mean, there's always other people, you have a dick there, and it's just, I disagree. I think it's a bit sad, really. We should be celebrating this match. We've got a new heavyweight champion from here, and he might not have been the prettiest of fights, but that regardless, it was, like I said many times, a fantastic performance and a fantastic result.
A quick word on Martin Murray, who fought on the same night as you. He'd have completed the set, wouldn't he, if he'd have won it? He'd give it his best, it just weren't quite enough.
He did, and it was very, very close, and I really liked Martin. I was absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
He didn't get the decision, and he's listening a lot to the time Martin's about him, lad. And hopefully next year he can get that world title. Like, he's just been so unlucky. Hopefully next year he can get another ride of cherry, and that world title is come so close to getting.
Just finally, mate, I just wanted to get your opinion on this. Quigg Frampton next year. Obviously, you do a lot of work with Quigg in the gym and everything else. Give us a prediction, if you don't mind. How do you think it's going to go?
A prediction, a quick KO. That's my honest opinion. Some people would say, you are going to say that, but that's what I genuinely think. And listen, I think Carl Frampton's a great fighter, and honestly, I'm a fan of Carl Frampton. I love watching his fight. I love watching the way the city gets behind him, you know, Belfast, the way they get behind him. But not just because he's up against one of the good mates. I just genuinely think Scott's gonna win the fight, and he's gonna win it by KO.
I think I agree, mate. I'm, like I say, I'm I'm not biased or anything else, but I think if Quigg lands, it's not going to last too much longer, and you can't see Frampton getting away from him for 12 rounds.
People don't realise how hard Scott hit, and it was shown against Martinez, and Carl Frampton can punch. But I'm not just about that. Scott's very good on the back foot as well. I believe there's a number of ways both fighters come with the fight. They're both quality fighters, but I just believe that'll be the difference. I just believe Scott's a bigger puncher.
Yeah. I'd agree with that, and I think that's probably going to be the key to the fight. Tickets sold out in, I don't know what it was, I've heard various different reports, but in a bloody quick time. It was unbelievable, because I seen Scott at the weigh-in to your fight last couple of weeks ago, and I've heard loads of stories of people not being able to get on the website and everything else, and he turns up and said he managed to get on the website himself. So I said, well, what are you doing? You're stopping other people getting tickets.
Yeah, it's been madness. I know the amount of, me myself, the amount of people who've got in touch with us, I think I get them tickets, which unfortunately I can't.
Them long lost relations of yours.
There's a few come out of the woodwork, let me tell you. it's an amazing fight, and like I say, for me, the most important thing is that both lads hopefully will be settled financially for life, which is a great thing. And it's a massive night for boxing, and I'm just happy that one of my good pals, he's involved in it. He deserves it, absolutely everything he gets because of how hard he works.
Yeah.
Honest people don't understand how hard Scott Quigg works.
Yeah. Nobody works harder than him, from what I've seen, to be honest.
Oh, unbelievable.
Well, listen, Anthony, I appreciate your time, mate. Always great to speak to you.
There's never been a more popular world champion, in my opinion. And it was absolutely brilliant to see you finally get it done a couple of weeks ago. So congratulations once again.
Right, Sean. Means a lot, mate.
No worries.
See you soon, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks again.
Catch up soon, mate. Take care.
Big thanks once again to the new WBA lightweight champion of the world, Anthony Crawler. Thanks to you, the listener, for downloading or streaming this podcast today. Whether it's on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, all your viewership is greatly appreciated. If you want to follow me, Sean Watson, or Rick, or Anthony on Twitter, our Twitter handles are @SeanWatson18, @RickMoylan, and @Ant_Crawler. So if you want to follow us on social media, that's our Twitter handles to do so. This might be the last episode of Inside Athletic Performance before the new year rolls in. More than likely now. We've only got a couple of weeks to go. So if it is, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, of course. We'll speak to you again, and we'll be back with you with another guest as soon as 2016 rolls into town. So thanks for listening to Inside Athletic Performance, and have a good new year.